This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 147. This is the Bourne Ultimatum from 2007. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and my co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, guys, so we're going deep into the Bourne franchise watch through. But again, you guys know how we do it on this channel and, of course, on the podcast. Also, Nate, how long has it been since you've seen this film?
You know what's funny? I saw this movie. This was the first movie that I watched. I want to say it was either 2007 or 2008 when I bought a new DVD player that had like an upscaling feature with an HDMI cable. And I watched it on my first ever flat screen that I bought. Now you got to think, in 2008, I was 21. So I had just bought my first ever flat screen, 720p. And I bought a DVD player with upscaling technology. And this was the first movie I watched on it. And guess what? That's the last time I watched it. So 2008. I'm going to say 2008 since I watched it.
Again, the same thing like I've been saying. I seen this last year. I always watch this for some reason every year. So, but with that said, but one cool fun fact about this movie, I saw this movie being filmed in New York where he's driving with the cop car going through the street. My wife, before she went into the hospital, she used to work on like in a, I don't know what you call it, like a smaller, like an independent doctor office.
Like an ER?
Yeah, not like an ER. Like in a building, and then you go in the building and it's like a,
it's like a physician's office.
Yeah. So, but she worked at the urologist, right? So I was going to bring her lunch and next thing you know, I saw tons of people standing everywhere. And I was like, well, I got to go into this building. And the guy with the PA comes and he's like, you can't walk in the street. We're filming. And I was like, what are you filming? I was like, I want to know. And he's like, I can't tell you this. And all of a sudden, he's like, you got to move back because this is going to be a driving sequence. So I said, all right, cool. So he's like, stay quiet. Next thing you know, you heard quiet on the set and you hear it through the thing. And then said action. And all you hear is driving right through. And I saw Matt Damon on the car. I was like, oh. What movie is this? And then when I walked in, my wife found out it was the new Bourne movie. And I was like, I want to stay outside while you work.
Your story is way better than mine. I watched this on a DVD upscaler and you got hit by a car while
I got 4D. I got the 4D version of the film.
Yeah, nice.
Anyway, look, with that said, let's get right into some Rotten Tomato scores to find out if the critics and the audience actually enjoyed this movie. And just like we said in the last two episodes ago when we did Supremacy, does this movie still money maker? Does the money still go up? We don't know with that, but in terms of critics, let's find out if it goes a little bit up. Nate,
let me tell you something. This gotta be the three best like reviewed movies we've done as far as a series.
Okay,
like all three are this one. This doesn't stop. This has a 92% critic score and a 91% audience score.
Wow.
The Bourne franchise, at least through three movies, is a review juggernaut. Fans love them. Critics love them. All of them have been very high every time. No drop off yet. So I haven't looked ahead. I don't look ahead. I'm sure there's a drop off point, but it sure ain't this third movie. It's still very high.
Yeah. So, you know, it's pretty crazy because, again, this was higher than two, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was higher. Yeah, so it did go higher, but this came in a few years later, right? This was not like a 3-year gap. It was a few more.
It was three, right? Because the first one was 2004. The last one was 2004. So you're right. It was 3 years later.
Yeah, so then Greengrass came back to continue his storyline, and I guess it worked. We'll find out. We're going to give you guys our movie reviews right now on this franchise. Now, it's up to Nate if we want to give our, out of the three, which we think is the best out of the three so far before we do the entire franchise. So it's up to Nate if he wants to do that at the end. We'll do it pretty quick. All right, cool. So with that said, check it out. Lead character, Jason Bourne himself, Matt Damon.
You know, I'm convinced at this point, I'm never going to go higher than this score. I gave him a 4 again. It's just not a 5 character to me. There's just, he's too quiet. He barely talks, you know, but not, he's not quiet in like the super cool like way. Like he's doing stuff and he talks to people, but he doesn't really have any character. He's almost like not a human character, right? He's a guy with amnesia. He has no ties. He has no family. He has no, you know, he had the girlfriend for one movie and one, you know, one and one eighth of a movie. She's gone. And other than that, he's just like, he's just a machine. He's essentially a machine, Jason Bourne. Now, is he a machine that's fun to watch? Yes. That's why I keep giving him a four. I'm not going to go under a four. And I thought Matt Damon was good in this. Again, I love that he comes back to America for the first time in this franchise. That was cool. It was cool to see him in, you know, in New York and everything like that. He does get some good, he gets a couple of good drop the mic lines in this one. Even though one of them was wasted at the end of two when he's looking at her through the window.
Yeah.
He's like, you look worried or whatever. And they pretty much, they didn't use the same footage. They reshot it, the same scene, if you noticed. Because he looks a little older. Yeah. He looks a little older from this movie to the last one, even. So I like that they reshot it instead of using the same footage. But the one where he's in the office, that's another drop the mic line. He's like, if you were in their office, we'd be having this conversation face to face. The music goes off like loud. I love it. I love it. There's some really good moments in this. And I think he's cool. He's good. I don't love the ending for him, like for his character. I just don't think it's super satisfying. He finds out his regular name and gets like, you know, remember some stuff.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. He jumps in the water. What I do like with the character is that it ends the way the first movie started. Him floating in the water. You know, the first movie opens with him floating in the water. This one ends with him floating in the water. And then it hits that Bourne music, you know? So it's cool. I give him a four. I like him, but he just never gets to a five for me.
Yeah, look, honestly, I think I'm going to deduct some points in this one. I went five across the two. This one, I felt very, nothing new happened. They did not give nothing new. I felt like he was the same character. Nothing new. There was nothing. He's just an older version, which is no fault. I don't want people to be like, oh man, you're nitpicking. I'm not nitpicking. It's not the fault of the writers here, because honestly, like Nate said in the last episode, the Supremacy episode, where he said it's pretty much a carbon copy of the same thing. There is nothing new with this guy. Like he just said, he's a robot. There is nothing he's learning. He still has amnesia for over the 3 years that he's been away. I don't know where the timeline is in this movie. He's still getting in spurts here and there. And to me, it started to get played out. Because I'm like, okay, this character, are we progressing with this character? Are we digressing with this character? Or are we just going to stay in the middle for the entire whole movie? And I felt like the needle was pointing towards mediocre to add a little bit of progression just to give you a little nudge with the storyline. And I didn't like it as much. Now, in terms of the fighting sequences, he's an older version of Bourne. I thought he was okay with that. Matt Damon was really good. I thought Matt Damon in this role, there's no nitpicks. There is nothing at all. He owns this role. He was great in this role. In terms of the character himself, I ain't see nothing new, to be honest with you. And like I said, he just is mediocre to a little towards the progressive side in terms of story. So with that, I gave it a 4.5, though. I just knocked it down a half. And I still think from identity to Supremacy, I think Jason Bourne was this two highlights were those two films when he was in his younger version, his prime Bourne, if you want to call it that. Okay, main villain. Now, again, the same movie, government conspiracy guys.
A bunch of guys. We got David Strathern. He's like the main actor who plays like the main guy who's trying to go after Bourne. And then you do have Edgar Ramirez as like a fellow agent guy. So he's been in a bunch of stuff now. It's always funny watching these and you see who pops up. Like Daniel Brühl is in this. He later was in, like, I think the year after this, he was in Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
And it was like a big breakout for him. But he plays like a super tiny nothing role in this movie early on. You have Albert Finney pop up. You have, you know, it's the same thing as the last movie. And I gave the last movie a four. I'll give this one a four. I actually think David Strathern was more overly aggressive as a villain than Brian Cox was in the last movie. You know, Brian Cox, there was something about him that was a little slimy and a little weak. You know, like the fact that he killed himself instead of, you know, doing anything, it shows he was kind of like weak in that way. I still liked him. Don't get me wrong. Strathern was a little more, you know, on top of things. Like, we are going to literally, he was going to kill Julia Stiles. He was going to kill everybody. He don't care. And then you had, as far as henchmen, you have Edgar Ramirez, who's cool. Doesn't really talk much until the very end. And I do like the guy that's in Tangiers, Desh something. The guy with the motorcycle with the bombs. And, you know, the henchmen are always pretty cool. So on the whole, I think there's enough here for Bourne to be going after and fighting against that it's over. I can't give it any less than the last movie because it's so similar. And I gave the last one a four. And this one's a four. I don't think it's like a notch down. It's equal, if not slightly better, but not enough for me to like raise the score.
Yeah, look, preach on, my brother. Because for me, I gave it a five. The last one,
nice.
Right? This yeah. one is a 4.5. I felt like there was nothing new with the villains. Now, there's two different perspectives here. I want you guys to understand. Nate rated the Bournes on a lower scale to see if the story will enhance it for him to bump him up to the good scale, whereas Big Papa Al went super high on the scale.
Right out the gate, and, swinging the bat.
And now I'm starting to deduct. But that's actually pretty good, though, because I'm giving to you why I'm going to give you the degree, the decreased on these yep. numbers. Now, again, there's nothing wrong. And again, if just like if it ain't broke, don't fix it, whatever the hell the metaphor is. The villains were great in this movie. I just felt like it was just the same as part two. There was no, I mean, actually in all three. I mean, there was nothing crazy of the villains in any of them. At all. It was just the same thing. You're going to send the yeah. henchman. I want Bourne dead. And next thing you know, they're trying to kill this guy and he's running off and he's fighting 20 of them. They go into this train station and he's whooping all their asses while the cameras can't figure it out. I was like, who's doing that? Who's the guy doing this to our agents? And next thing you know, yeah. it's Bourne on the camera. And he's like, oh my God, it's Jason.
Oh no. Yeah. He's here.
Yeah. So my thing is like, as suspenseful as it was watching it, it was kind of the redundancy for me. I was just like, we already know where we're going with this. Like the villain, there was nothing. Honestly, Kurt Urban was the best henchman out of the three movies because he literally, I mean, this dude literally chased my man down in a car and until they both crashed. And I didn't feel like, I felt like the one where Jason and that henchman were going at it kind of felt copied as the second one. It didn't feel new. It didn't feel fresh. For me. So with that, I gave it a 4.5. Nothing wrong. I just deducted by half because I felt like there was nothing new in terms of the whole. But I do agree with you. The dude from the CIA is, I mean, the FBI, he's a douche. He was great. Yeah. He was really, yeah, I wanted yeah, to punch really him good. In the mouth. And this is the second movie that I wanted to punch him in the mouth because he played the same type of role in another movie. He was the same douchey FBI dude that wanted to get to kill the main, I forgot the name of the movie, but it's the same. Yeah.
And he had Scott Glenn too. Scott Glenn as like the chief guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, we'll just blame it on Landy. We'll just do it. Put it on her. He was a dick too.
Yeah. Dicks everywhere, bro. Oh my God.
Yeah, a bunch of them.
Pretty much. All right. With that said, I mean, the whole point of the Bournes is the action sequences. So, Nate.
You know what? I'm convinced that these are action films that aren't too obsessed with action. To be honest, third movie in a row where you can count the action scenes on a couple of fingers, really. Now, what I will say is in all the movies that we've watched so far, I feel like they're very well executed. So that counts for something. This one, I love the Tangiers action scene. I'll be honest. It's like 15 minutes. It's really long. It's a long set piece from when the car blows up to that whole chase. With the motorcycle and everything to the running when he jumps through the window. I remember that was in the trailer. It was like an iconic shot when he jumps off the one and goes into the window. That's a great camera shot, by the way, too. Like the way they filmed it was awesome. I like the fight in this one better than the fight in the house in the second movie when he fights the guy with the magazine. I like this one with the book. I like that it shows he's handy. You know, he throws every little thing he has. And while it still has the shaky cam, which will automatically make it not a 5, I could see a little bit better in this one. There was a couple overhead shots. Like Greengrass did a few things different that I was noticing. Because with these movies, I had to really focus on things because there's also similar. You know what I mean? So it was like, where can I point out little differences here and there? And this one has a little bit. Now, this has a really good car chase through New York. It's not as good as the one in Supremacy, but it's good. It's good. It's still really good, you know, with the cop car, the one that almost ran you over. It turned out to be a really good action scene. I enjoyed it. And the whole chase after and everything, like a lot of foot chases, car chase, some it's a chase movie, this one. A couple of hand-to-hand moments. The one fight is good. I'm going to give it another 4. I've given them all 4s, but this one has 3 action scenes and 2 of them are like the last hour has like a lot of action. The first hour, because almost 2 hours, it's an hour and 48 minutes or something. The last 48 minutes has like all the action and the beginning is not as much. So, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was well executed and I liked it. It's a 4.
Yeah. You know, in terms of the action, I gave it a 4.5. I deducted a half a point because some of the action sequences, I felt like it was very cut paced super fast. I mean, the scene that I understand the fight scene that you're talking about when they were fighting in the house, that one was a very cut paced sequence. And I was like, holy crap, this way was more noticeable than it was in the second movie. It was a very choppy, choppy cut quick to make him look faster. And I mean, again, some people enjoy that. some people don't. But I wasn't getting too crazy with it. And I guess the more we start to do these damn movies, you start to find some flaws that annoy you. And that one annoyed me because I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, this dude can't fight hand to hand. But it's a very quick, like, taken style. Very fast.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was just like,
it's weird because these guys are like not that old.
I don't get it.
At most in their 30s, at most.
Yeah, I don't get it. I guess that's the way Greengrass shoots, maybe.
He's very handheld, but the editing is weird. That's what it is. It's like, yeah, it's a lot of cuts.
Yeah.
Fast cuts.
The car sequences are good. They're great. The car sequences are great. I still think Supremacy is way better in terms of the execution from beginning to end. How that ends is awesome. This one, they try to mimic it with between the two, towards the end when he's going with the last agent and they're driving through New York, which is awesome. And let me just tell you, they went from Manhattan into the FDR. I believe it was the FDR. And then they're right slammed into the thing. And I was just like, wow, that's actually pretty. If you live in New York, it's crazy because there should be more cars than it was so empty. I was like, yeah, right. There's so much traffic in New York. That's no way you could have did a sequence that quick. But it actually is pretty cool. I love him getting chased by the cops and he goes in the roof and throws himself with the car into the second deck. I thought that sequence was awesome.
That was cool.
Yeah. But other than that, honestly, I felt like the action more in the second one to me was better than this one. I felt like it was a great filler because this is concluding the entire story. Again, we didn't know we were getting two more later down the road. So this was like concluding the Bourne franchise here. So, I mean, I liked it for what it was. I gave it 4.5. What do you think of the storyline?
I like it. You know what? I mean, this is a hard one. It's like a hard movie to review in this format because I honestly feel like after watching all three of these, they're just one big movie. Like the Bourne Identity, the Bourne Supremacy, and the Bourne Ultimatum are one movie that's like, you know, 6 hours long or whatever, you know, however long it is. And by the way, to your point earlier, as far as the timeline, this takes place like, according to the movie, 6 weeks after the last movie, because it goes in the Russian. Remember, in the last movie, he escapes in Russia. They don't really show how. And then he calls her on the phone. He's in New York. And this shows that 6 weeks earlier, it shows how he escaped. And then it shows him go to New York and then call her later. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I did like that, actually. That's part of the storyline. I like that. That scene at the end of part two was actually like towards the end of this movie. It wasn't like the beginning or anything like that. So I like it. I think the storytelling's a strength, if I'm going to be honest, in this franchise. I think that's why the reviews are so high. These are really good, really intriguing, action thrillers. Because it leans more into thriller almost than action, if we're being honest. You know, with the whole CIA and the cover-ups and the operatives, and it has all that stuff. It's super fast-paced. Again, it's nonstop. Like, no one ever stops moving in these movies. You get about three scenes where people are, like, sitting down and talking. Otherwise, they're walking around, they're running around, they're jumping around, and they're talking, and they're riding cars and motorcycles. And so it's a go-go-go movie, and this one fits right in. I thought the storyline was strong. I really enjoyed it. I think it's a good conclusion. When the movie ended, I felt satisfied with the ending.
Yeah.
Now, we know there's more movies because we're doing this franchise. But if they had stopped it, I would have been like, I remember at the time, I was like, this is a great ending. Sure, it's not the most satisfying for the character, but hey, he got what he needed. He found out who he was. He got the answers he wanted. And then he jumps off. He got shot, but he didn't die. And then he could have just went off and lived. You know, they think they killed him and it could have stopped. So I liked it. I gave it a 4. I think I've given all three of them a 4. I just think they're good, strong stories that never cross over into like the amazing, most amazing story I ever saw. So it's a good, solid, another good solid 4 for me.
I give it a 4.5. Again, you're absolutely right. This is the strength of this movie. I honestly, this is one of the best, and I will say it right now, it's one of the best action spy thriller storylines there is for three movies, because we got Mission Impossibles and those are like 8 of them. So that's like a 1,000 stories in one. But in terms of a three film arc, this has to be one of the best out there. It's very well paced. Regardless, they brought in another director from the first guy and it worked well with Greengrass. I mean, it could have went another route if they wanted to do another director, then three would have been another person. But I think the strength was that they kept Greengrass for the entire final two films. Well,
Yeah.
The other one, too.
And they brought him back for Jason Bourne.
Yeah, they did, too. But in terms of this one, to conclude everything, it was the, you know, not the original director, which I could have been actually interesting if they brought back the guy from Identity.
Doug Liman.
Yeah, to see how that would have been wrapped up. But I think it worked very well. For me, the storyline is really good. I love stuff like this. This is right up my alley when it comes to, like, spy thrillers and action scenes. And and it's perfect. I think it's one of the perfect franchises in terms of action spy action spy genre.
Thrillers,
again, I gave it a 4.5. Nate, overall,
well, bunch of fours. It lands at a 4 for me. Like you said, I think this is as a 3 movie arc, it doesn't get too much better. It has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. You know what I mean? And all 3 parts tie together extremely well. You know, Julia Stiles, I totally forgot she was in all 3 of them. I forgot she was in the first one. I remember her being in the second 2.
Yeah.
But you have, you know, her character is a through character that stays. And then, of course, Landy comes in the second movie and is here in the third. You know, everyone can't make all 3 because a lot of people do die in this franchise. So, but they did a great job. The casting is amazing. Every little part is full with, like, the right actor for that part. You know what I mean? Which you can't always say for an action film, to be honest with you. So yeah, I think it's a great 3 movie set. So it's a 4. It's going to be another 4 for me. You know, I know we're going to answer in a bit as far as, like, which one we like best. It's almost a coin flip. I'm going to have to think about it because they're also equally good, in my opinion, to each other. At that point, it's just kind of like picking maybe little things you liked here or there to decide. But I thought it was great. I gave it a 4.
Yeah, dude, I gave it another 4.5. I went 4.5 in this entire movie. I went 4.5. In every category, I hit a 4.5. I felt like overall, this is a great conclusion to this story and character. I thought it was very well. Villain was a villain. Action was action. If you want a story that you're hooked in, you're hooked into this. I mean, even the score gets you into the movie. And that's kind of rare when you're into the third movie. And I believe they changed composer by the third movie, or it's the same dude. But regardless of what it is, it's still a freaking amazing score. Even in the original, I don't even care what people say. Identity has a great score. Also, it has like that old vintage spy music. And I don't know why it has that awesomeness to that. And then Supremacy has a great one. And then Ultimatum has another great score right behind that. So I think kudos overall, music, action. You're right. All the actors that they brought in for each role served the purpose of being awesome. And I loved it. Yeah. I mean, the only nitpick I really do have is that Brian Cox and the dude that signed up Jason Webb kind of looked the same and talked the same. I was just like, why didn't you just bring back Brian Cox? Because they were the same dudes, right? They had the same, welcome Jason.
Yeah, that's true. Albert Finney? You mean Albert Finney role? Yeah, yeah. They do kind of look, they look like brothers or something.
He said, why did you do this? I didn't do this to you, Jason. You did it to
you yourself. Wanted to do it. You shot this guy. You know, it's funny, too, that they show that scene at the end where he's, like, first started, but he looks significantly older than he did in the first movie.
Mm,
you know, because, like, a flashback, but he looks, like, now. That part, that made me laugh.
I mean, but you know what? All overall, it was really good. I gave him a 4.5. Nate, total points.
Total points for me works out to be a 20 out of a 25.
Mm.
A very strong, strong series so far. Not a dud in the bunch, in my opinion. Now, will the last 2 be a dud? I don't remember. It's going to be, after watching these, I'm looking forward to seeing, especially the next one. Because, like I said, I remember enjoying it, but also I didn't watch it like right after watching the first 3. I just went and saw it at the theater. So, and I know the director, I think, was like writers on this one. Like, it's the same, right? It's like the same group, except it's no Paul Greengrass. So I'm interested to see, but 20 out of 25 for me.
Hey, I gave it a 22.5. I hope I did it right. I think I did do it right. It's 4 across, 4.5 across. Yeah, I think it's
It is 22.5.
Yep, 22.5. There you have it. That's what I give it. I think it's a perfect conclusion to an action spy thriller. Other than that, all right, Nate, the question everyone's going to want to know is, out of these 3 films, which one you're going to pick as your number one?
Okay, so it's hard because, like I said, they're also similar. You know, it's one of those ones where, like, they're similar, but they stand out enough where you can pick and choose, like, that's part 2, that's part 1, that's part 3. I've always liked this movie because I do like that he comes back to America. I love the New York stuff. I think that's great. Man, it's really a toss up. 2 and 3 probably. I like the Greengrass ones a little bit better than the first one. I think I'd rank the first one third, and I think I had almost the same scores for the other two. So, I'll just say the same. I don't know. It's a tie. I don't know. It's a tie. That's a hard one. I like them both equally, the other two, but one is my third favorite, for sure. Yeah,
that's fine. I'm going to go with Supremacy. I think Supremacy overall is the better story. You see his love interest get shot. You see him get angry. He's going down to take down these guys. And then you have awesome action sequences. You have an awesome score. And like Nate said, each sequence in this movie, I mean, in Supremacy, felt kind of like an action sequence more than this movie. This movie just, I felt like it was kind of just repeating what Supremacy did. But everything he did, they were like, oh my God, Jason Bourne. It's like, bim, 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 bim. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. I love the music at the end.
That's sound in every Jason Bourne movie. It's in all of the movies.
It's at the end every time. It's like the ending music.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Look, to me, Supremacy is number one. Number two would be Ultimatum. And then number three is Identity. But not taking away from Identity, to be honest with you.
We have to put one third.
Yeah, because honestly, yeah. I would put Identity and Ultimatum as my number two. Into number one, Supremacy, but in this three film ranking, Identity is just going to get the short end.
I'm
the same.
I have two number ones and a number two. I don't really have a one, two, and three.
Yeah, so it kind of sucks. But Nate, what's coming up?
All right, so coming up, we got a couple of more movies. You already know. Now, next episode, we're going to be covering an Alex first time watch, an 80s film. He's an 80s guy.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of Patrick Swayze, a little bit of Roadhouse. Going to be reviewing that. I'm very much looking forward to that conversation. And then, of course, next week, we continue on down the journey of the Bourne franchise with the Bourne Legacy. The first one that stars none of these people. It's got like Jeremy Renner and Rachel Weisz and the other people. I'm looking forward to revisiting it. So that's going to be next week as far as the Bourne franchise.
Yeah, if you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called NateFlix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/GeeksAndFlicks. That is our new handle for YouTube. And then, of course, if you want to take us on the go with the audio podcast, it's Action Movie Guys on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio. Hit those search bars. Put Action Movie Guys, subscribe, leave some ratings. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.